he does live. Amen. And the scripture today is a scripture that we all are pretty much familiar with. And it comes from Hebrews 11:1-3, and also 8-16. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So on the whole, the Bible is not really one that provides definition in the way that a dictionary does. One place where it does come close to explaining things like a dictionary is in these scriptures of Hebrews that I just read. So what they are describing here is a standard definition of faith in the Christian tradition. That faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, just as our physical eyesight is the sense that gives us the evidence that we do see something, that there's evidence of some material that is right in front of us. But faith gives us the same sense, but in a way that it's not right in front of us. It's a spiritual sense. Amen? It's invisible. It's a spiritual word. So faith has this reason, and we're not talking about blind faith. And the reasons that we have faith, it can't be measured and quantified in a laboratory. They have to be understood spiritually. Amen? Faith extends us beyond our physical senses, before our physical means. And the author is saying that it has reasons. Amen? Faith is the organ that enables us to see the invisible. Amen? Because without faith, you can't see the invisible. It says of things hoped for. Now, if you have something in front of you, you can see it. Faith is needed for the things that we can't see and we can't touch. Faith does not contradict reason. It goes beyond reason. The Bible is the most unique book that is ever published. And we have faith that this book here is the Bible. And it has impacted society more than any other book in the world. But it is only by faith that we can prove that this Bible is the Word of God. Therefore, the book, we can see it, but to believe it is beyond reason because it is contradiction to reason. Faith is not bare belief or intellect or just understanding. It is a willingness to trust in, to rely on, to cling to. The author does not rest content with simply providing this definition. He offers a long series of how this assurance, this conviction, led figures from the Old Testament to do what they had to do and to bear what they had to bear. In other words, when you have faith, it allows you to do what you have to do. It allows you to bear what you have to bear. Because when another person looks at it without faith, they don't understand how you can do what you have to do and how you can bear what you have to bear. There are figures that are listed in this Hall of Fame of Faith. The names include Abel, Enoch, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, David, and Samuel. The scripture says faith enabled people in the past to overcome. And it says it this way, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By it means that those elders were great examples of godliness. Now they were all different people. They all had different circumstances. And they all had different personalities, just like this church. Amen? We're made up of people that are different, under different circumstances, and we have different personalities. But one thing that they all had in common, they all had faith. So this morning, even though we have all these different differences about us, one thing that we have to have in common is faith. Now, the Bible says that they obtained a good testimony. You see, the writer of Hebrews had to write this because Christians had been discouraged. And they were thinking of giving up on Jesus and had a distinctive way to think about Christianity. And what they needed was a good testimony, and they needed these examples of faith to break them out of discouragement. So this morning, although some people are going through some things today, I want you to receive this message to break you out of the discouragement, to break you out of the disillusionment, to break you out of the things that the enemy is trying to pull over you right now, over the distress that he is trying to make you feel. Amen? So in order to receive this, you have to increase your faith. If you came in here with little faith this morning, I pray that you leave with a greater faith. The scripture, the third scripture says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that were seen, that are seen, are not made of things which do appear. You see, faith gives us understanding to the invisible world. By faith, we understand that just by the word of God, that those worlds were created. So things that we don't even see, that were created by the word of God, they're not visible to us. But by faith, we do understand that that happened because it is in the scripture. And the psalmist says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. In Genesis 1 and 3, he said these words, let there be light. And by faith, we understand that there was life. We didn't see the act of the creation. We only know of it by faith. We also know that by this reason that the worlds that were created by an intelligent designer. Again, our faith is going beyond what we see, but it's not in contradiction to the reasoning of why these things happen. Even in times when it seems like God expects a faith that contradicts reason, a closer examination understands that he really doesn't. For example, it might seem contrary to reason for God to expect Abraham and Sarah to believe that her dead womb could produce a child. But it's not unreasonable to believe that the God who created life and the womb could do this, because he could do this according to his promise. So by faith, we understand that God created the world with faith. Since God sees and knows all things, faith is a human sense and is not required by him. God doesn't need faith. He created the world and the worlds and everything. He doesn't need faith because he did it. God didn't say, I hope I can create this thing here. He didn't say, I hope I could create other worlds. He didn't say, I hope that there's going to be light. He didn't need faith to do it. He did it. We need faith. Amen? Because we are not the creator. We can't create anything. But we know the creator can do all things, and we have to have faith in the creator. So the things that are seen are not made of things which are visible. Among all the examples of the faith, none is more prominent than Abraham. And I want to talk and isolate Abraham this morning because he stands out as the great pillar of faith and the assurance of the things hoped for and the conviction of the things not seen. So we went through verses 1 and 3. 1-3, talking about what faith being the substance of things hoped for. Things, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? But the reason why I want to isolate Abraham is because to understand the faith that Abraham had will take us to another level. Somebody say amen. Because the same way that God used Abraham, God wants to use you. I said God wants to use you. As Minister Walker was talking about her family, she is saying, pray for your family and your family members, because by faith, God is going to use you to do things that you don't see, to see things that you can't even imagine. But if you look into the spiritual realm, you can see that God is working on your behalf. So when we get to verses 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receiving an inheritance, obey, and went out, not knowing where he went. I'm going to stop right there. It says, by faith, Abraham was told to go out, not knowing where he was going, not even asking where he was going. You know something? He did it by faith, and he didn't get lost. You know why he didn't get lost? Because he didn't know where he was going. If you don't know where you're going, but you go out by faith, wherever God leads you, that's where you're supposed to be. So by faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. It says, by faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had no foundation, whose builders and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful, also had promised. Therefore, there even of one as him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which by the seashore innumerable. These all died by faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them a city. By faith, Abraham stayed in the time in a land that has been promised. It was a foreign land. By faith, he received the power to procreate when he was a very old man, when he was past the age of fathering. This account does not represent Abraham as a usual hero. You know, usually when we think of heroes, we think of somebody who's done what everybody else wants to do. Somebody who's going the hard way to do something. But Abraham was an unusual hero, because Abraham listened to a voice that was outside of the normal voices. You know, when God wants you to do something, the voice that tells you to do something is outside of a normal voice. God's voice to you is not normal. When he tells you and he wants you to do something, you won't even understand where it's coming from. You might not even understand the sound, the tone of what it's coming to you at. Abraham did not listen to the normal voices. Nor is he conventional. He didn't do what society tells him to do. Our society today is so intent on telling us what to do, where to go, what to buy, what to wear, where to live, the car to get, the job to have, the clothes to wear. Abraham is portrayed as a new and different creature. He was portrayed as a man of faith. Abraham lived inside this thing called tension and promise and fulfillment. Don't you know that Abraham, when he listened to that voice, that there was a lot of tension? When you listen to the voice of God and he's telling you to do something, there's going to be tension between the physical and the spiritual. Oh, how many people know what I'm talking about? How many people have had that tension that you want to do something and God is telling you to do something else? It creates tension. It creates heat in your body. It makes you unsettled. Abraham lived inside the tension of his physical and the promise of God. And also the spectrum of whether or not this was going to be fulfilled. But he recognized at the same time what is visible and what is certain is not the same. Can I tell you something about life? Right now, to us, life is visible, but it's uncertain. Abraham knew back then that what was visible was not the same as it being certain. Abraham was not the type of hero that made his own way in the world. We like to think that the heroes are the ones who make their own ways in the world. They break something out and do something different, and everybody says, oh, he's a hero. He did this, she did that. But they're not a hero. A hero is the one that listens to the word of God, listens to the voice of God, and uses God as a guide, and he trusts God to lead him along the way. What Abraham does is he says no to culture, and he even says no to himself, and obeys the bewildering voice of God. God's voice is bewildering. It's confusing because you can't believe that you're hearing what you're hearing. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where God's directive and his command and what he tells you to do has bewildered you to the point that the enemy wants to make it confusing to you. But it's only bewildering because it's causing that, like I said, that tension between what your physical wants to do and what the spiritual is telling you to do. But when we hear in Hebrews about this man of faith, Abraham, we're told that he set out not knowing where he's going. If I told somebody, and probably anybody in this church right now, and I said, let's go, what's the first thing you're going to ask me? Where are we going? Where are you taking me? And then you're going to ask, what should I wear? What should I put on? Abraham left not knowing where he was going, not knowing what he should put on. We're told that not only did he go, but he took his son and his grandson. Amen? And if it wasn't Sarah who said, where are we going? You know your son is going to ask you, where are you going? And if he ain't got the guts to ask you, them little kids, them grandchildren, they're going to ask you stuff that your son, your daughter, and your son won't even ask you. Because they don't have any fear. So Abraham is charged with going where he didn't know where to go and charged with taking his son and his grandson. Where did they go? They went and they lived in tents. They lived as though they were nomads. They lived as though they were refugees. They lived as though they were aliens. We're told that Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 90 years old when Sarah had the baby. He was the oldest dad. Can you imagine old Abraham? If there was a school, he's going to school to pick up his baby at 90 years old. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where somebody asks, you've seen somebody and you thought it was their grandfather and it was their father. Years ago, there was a guy I worked with. His name was Richie. His daughter married a guy the same age as him. So the joke was when she had a kid, He wouldn't know who to call dad or grandpa. But Abraham, at 90 years old, they had this child. Now let me tell you, everywhere that Abraham went, the baby and Sarah was sure to go. So it was a hard life for his son. But Abraham wasn't looking at his son, because sometimes when we have children, it distracts us from what God wants us to do. Because you start thinking in terms of the gift that God's given you as opposed to listening to what God is telling you to do. I venture to say that because I have to tell you, we do that with children, and we do it with other things that God gives us, because now we become overprotective of what God has gifted us with as opposed to following his word. I don't want to drive my car to the church's parking lot because it had too many holes in it. I don't want to come to church today because I'm painting my house. You're looking at the gift that God's given you and you put it before God. But Abraham, in his faith, regardless of him having, you know that boy had to be precious. They waited all of these years to have that child. That child was precious. But he still listened to the voice of God. I advocate to you today that regardless of the physical circumstances, look at the physical one, because by faith, God is going to lead you through. Amen? Abraham listened to a different voice than other people do. Abraham ignored his ego, because you know his ego. You know at 90 years old, he probably wanted to walk around and say, look at what I did. But Abraham still listened to the voice of God. That's why Abraham is called the father of believers. And what does that mean? It means that should be a family resemblance between him and us. Like Abraham, we got to shut down our ears and our egos. Sometimes we got to shut down and close off society's expectations about us and listen to a different voice. Because people that you listen to, they don't necessarily know where you're going. They don't necessarily know where God is taking you to. Amen? And sometimes you got to just get up and go. And when they say, where you going? You say, I don't know, but I'm on my way. This is not something that we dream up. But when God tells you to do something and you do it, it's a gift. We have to get rid of this nervous self-confidence that we have in ourselves and just give it all up to God. We got to give up our private self. You know we all got these private selves. You know we're here in church right now, and each and every one of us got our little private self. Our little privacy that we don't want and we don't think that anybody knows about. Our private self. Our private self that we are going to hold on to, and we're not going to have faith and let God handle these situations. We're going to hold on to everything and keep it to the side. If they don't know, then I'm good. God knows. Here is a warning. This attitude knows that we know as faith doesn't guarantee us that we're going to have no trouble at all. Remember, Abraham had faith in his head one day, and then the next day he didn't know where he was going. He found himself as a refugee. And as he wandered in the wilderness, I'm sure that he was stumbling along the way, much of the time. But as much as he was stumbling, he always had this companion. This companion was called God. Don't you know that no matter who doesn't want to follow you, don't want to go along with you, that you got a companion named God? But God had much more stake with Abraham had with him. You see, because God chose Abraham to do his work, so he had as much going in Abraham. You see, Abraham had this whole family issue going on with Sarah, sons and daughters. He had all of that going on. But God had his whole existence of what he promised Abraham. You'll have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky. But he needed Abraham to have faith in what God was telling him to do. Abraham did not recognize how to get through the way by himself, and other people can't guide him. There are days that are going to be dark in your life, and you don't know how you're going to get through it, and I'm telling you right now, everybody around you will not be able to guide you through it. God is going to have to guide you through it. Voices that you hear, ignore them. Listen to the voice of God. Any person, any congregation has had time of facing the unknown. None of us are exempt. There are moments when we're going to look foolish in the eyes of the world, and we're going to feel anything but comfortable about ourselves. You see, when you get in that space between that tension and what God is telling you to do, we get uncomfortable with ourselves. Amen? But sometimes we got to get uncomfortable with ourselves in order to move on to the next realm. Amen? We got to have that friction going on in order for us to be wiped clean. Amen? In response to our plea for light, God tells us to be his children in faith. And what the faith of Abraham teaches us is that, you know what? In faith, some people are going to die in faith. They're going to have faith, and they're not going to see what it is that they had faith in. I'm a prime example of that. You see why you say that? Because my sister sitting there right now will tell you that my father had faith that one of his children would be in the church. And the one he picked wasn't the one who did it. But by faith, looking into the spiritual realm, understanding that God has a timetable and a time of his own, a place for everything, that maybe somewhere along the line he saw afar off. And that's what Abraham had to do. He had to see by faith afar off that God's plan was the best plan. And that listen to God's voice will help him to achieve something that he could have never have done by himself. So in your family and your family members and your sons and daughters, your grandchildren, you have to have faith that is afar off. You can't see it right now. And you look foolish to the world. But God live, when we live for God, we live a life that is non-conventional. When we live a life for Christ, people don't recognize where we're going and what it is that we're doing. But when we are going and wherever it is that we're going, Jesus stands right at the gate to let us in that new horizon, that new thing that God is doing in our life. Amen? When we have the faith of Abraham, we can see things that are far off. Amen? Some of us should be assured that God is going to come through in our lives and in our families and profess that God is going to do those things. Even though you don't see it right now visibly, spiritually, you got to feel it and you got to know. Abraham and Sarah were assured of what it was that God was going to do for them. They considered the promise that God has given them. They were assured themselves that the promise had to be valid. You got to be assured of the things that God has promised you, that Jesus has given you, that these things are going to happen, because it is God making these promises. And when God make a promise, you have to embrace the promise and embrace it in faith. How many times do you think that Sarah and Abraham looked at that baby and looked at each other and looked at the baby and looked at each other? Because they embraced the promise. Amen? How much more should we embrace the promises that God has given us? Remember, there's a spiritual reality and there's a heavenly place that is our real home that we're looking to go to. But the problem is with our faith is that we're, are you ready for an ouch moment? Can you want to say ouch now? problem is that we're practical atheists. We're people who have a theoretical belief in God. But we don't believe that belief and what we have to do day by day matters. We have a teeny little itty bit of faith. Because the scripture said, well, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, it's going to happen. That faith is not for us. We see so many things happen in our lives that our faith should be greater. So I went to a chiropractor the other day. This chiropractor, I told her, I've been teaching her and telling her about the Lord. And she's not one of these people who kind of believes in the Lord, but I tell her things about the Lord. And I've been speaking to her and speaking to her and speaking to her. So the other day, she says to me, she says, you know, I did what you told me. I said, really? She says, yeah. She says, I was in a bind. I needed $1,000 that day. She said, and I did what you said. I said, what was that? She said, all you have to do is just speak to the Lord, just like we're speaking right now. I said, really? She says, yeah. I spoke to the Lord, and that day, in the morning, before 10 o'clock, somebody bought $500 worth of coupons. And she said, I looked up, and I said, oh, my God, this is really happening. I can't believe it, but I need another $500 more. And she continued to talk to the Lord that day. By the end of the day, she got her $1,000. Now you're saying, well, you know, but that's that mustard seed of faith. You see, that's a seed being planted right there. Because I know that there's more in life that she's going to want. And all she has to do is continue to learn to speak to the Lord. See, we got to plant and then we water. I planted. Now I'm going to water. That you know there's other things in your life that you need to be speaking to him about. She told me that she's going to a church. She's looking for a church. You see, we have to plant it by faith and water. Just like the youth leader said, we don't know the things that we're saying, how they're going to affect people. But you say it and you plant it, that seed, by faith, the water's going to come. Amen? We cannot be practical atheists. The things that we say, the things that we believe, we have to understand that even though we don't seem to have enough to cover some things, God is a provider and he's going to provide. You see, it's just the obvious to take hold of the unthinkable. We always like to think, oh, this is unthinkable, we can't do it. But my God defies logic. Amen? He is courageous with his love, and he gives it to us, and we have to embrace it with our faith. The weak are going to shun it. Because by the words that we speak, we shun the faith that we say that we have. The intellectuals are going to question it. You see, she was in a bind, and she didn't question whether or not she was going to get that $1,000. She started asking for it. And I'm saying that today because somebody in here is questioning whether or not God is going to do it. All you got to do is believe and ask him that he's going to do it. If you don't believe, he ain't. He can't. He won't. But you got to have that kind of faith. And your faith needs to be bigger than the mustard seed in this church. You see, our faith, it's got to see the invisible. Our faith has got to believe the unbelievable. Our faith has got to receive the impossible. Our faith has got to be dead to doubts. Our faith has got to be dumb to discouragement. It's got to be blind to impossibilities. Our faith can move mountains. And without it, it's impossible to please God. I don't know how you can please God if you don't have faith. Faith means that you take something and you do something with it when God tells you to do it. Because when you do that, he's going to supply your every needs. This person, Chambers, says, faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God whose ways you might not understand at the time. You see, when God parted the Red Sea for the Jewish people fleeing from Pharaoh, they stepped out. Because I'm going to tell you, and you need to write this down, faith steps out and never backs down. I said faith back, it steps out and never backs out, backs down. Faith will always give you and put you in the first step. And the first step is always the hardest step. Somebody say amen. Amen. Faith allowed those people to step in the water, not knowing what the outcome was going to be, but believing that God was going to do otherwise. Because they believed in the spiritual realm that God was going to part them waters for them. But in the physical realm, there was a big river in front of them. There's some big rivers in front of your life right now. But if you believe and step out in faith, God is going to part them seas for you. You see, when Jesus asked Peter to come out in the water and he came walking, people criticized Peter for sinking. But the story here is faith, of Peter walking on the water in faith. And here's where the trouble is, where Jesus saved him. You see, walking on the water had nothing to do with the water. It had to do with faith. And faith has everything to do with God's voice. You see, when Peter stepped out, God said, come on out here, Peter. Jesus said, come on, Peter. But Peter took that first step. We got to take that first step when God tells us to do something. We got to take that first step when Jesus is acknowledging us. Come on out here. You see, both of these incidents between the Red Sea and Peter was with water. And one was stopping the flow, and the other one was being stopped where it was supposed to be. You see, when God gives us the word, we have to step out in faith and obedience. There's a matter of obedience that goes with faith. When you're disobedient, you don't have faith. I'm going to say that again. If you're disobedient, you don't have faith. Because when you're disobedient means you object to what you're being told. Somebody say amen. Faith isn't the ability to believe far and long into the misty future. It's just taking God's word for this next step. You don't even have to say God is going to bless me in 3 years from now or 2 years from now. God starts blessing you when you take that first step. That first step that you do. Because that's the hardest one. Amen? I always talk about 12-step programs. But you know what the first one is? Being obedient. Knowing that you're not in control. So when you take that first step, you know that you're not in control. You're not in control. And you're giving it all to God. You're letting him take over everything. It's that first step. Peter, he took that first step. Moses, they took that first step. Faith, you can't have it without obedience. Amen? And when you take that step, you just remind yourself when you get ready to take the next one that God is with you and God will take care of you. He will never fail you and you can count upon him always. Not sometimes. Have you ever had a sometimey friend? Sometimes they're your friend and sometimes it's not. If you need money, they're not your friend. If you get in a bind, they're not your friend. But when they need something, they're your friend. God is not that kind of friend. God is always a friend. You kill your friendship with God. Not God. He doesn't do that with you. I need you to say right now, I will step out in faith and not back out. Oh, I'm not feeling that. I know God is not feeling that. I will step out in faith and not back out. Now, let me tell you something else that you could write down. Faith breaks out and never freaks out. Can you say that? Faith breaks out and never freaks out. You know, there was three young men going into a furnace. And if there was any time for somebody to go crazy, it was them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they didn't get frustrated, they didn't get frazzled, and they didn't freak out. because they knew, they had faith that the God that they served was going to be there with them. The fire, they tell me, was 7 times hotter than it should have been. It was instant death for anybody that came near it. But they went in it. And the Bible says when they looked, there was 4 people in the fire. There was somebody in there besides Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because faith broke out and it didn't freak out. Faith expects from God was beyond all our expectations. Amen? If you have expectations, when you think of what God can do for you, it's beyond your expectations. Why do we get stressed? Why do we get disappointed? Why do we get discouraged and depressed? Because there's some things that are out of our control and outside of our emotional status. But let me tell you this morning, I'm going to give you a faith, a stress buster. That stress buster is called faith. Are you stressed out? You don't have faith. Are you disillusioned? You don't have faith. Are you discouraged? You don't have faith. Faith is a stress buster. When you look at this word that they like to use, oh, you're depressed. Depression is the emotional result of hopelessness. When people say that they feel hopeless, they're in a depression. Joy is the emotion as a result of hope. When you say, I might be down, but I'm not out, there's hope in that word. There's joy in that word. There's some emotion in that word because you have hope. You have joy. But let me tell you something. There's a word called peace, and peace is the emotional result of faith. See, when you have peace, your emotions are all in check. It's not going up. It's not going down. You're just sitting in the cut because you know that God is going to take care of everything. Because you have faith that God is going to handle your situations. When you're breaking out of the rut, breaking out of the stress, breaking out of bondage, breaking out of diseases, breaking out of the normal, faith is the stress buster. It is the one that can cure all of those ills that we go through. When you have faith, you don't see what you see right now. You see something afar. Amen? Faith sees things as if it were right now. It sees things as if it was right now. Somebody might be saying today, I need $1,000. But faith tells you, I'm going to have that $1,000. Faith tells you, you got that job that you've been applying for, that I'm going to have it. It's happening right now. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is saying and decreeing what it is that God is going to do for you. God is in control of your tomorrow. God is in control of your work and your family. No matter what you go through, you should not be fazed. Let me tell you something else about faith, and you need to write this one down too. That faith reaches out, and it never sits out. You know, as humans, we don't like things that we say, well, I'm going to just sit this one out here. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to be bothered with it. I'm just going to sit it out. God doesn't sit anything out. He's waiting for your faith to increase. When I say waiting for your faith to increase, he's waiting for you to reach out. That's the text this morning. Reach out, because I'll be there. Reach out, because I'll be there. When you don't have faith, you don't reach out. The devil has got you blinded with confusion and depression. But God is saying, don't lose your faith. Reach out, because I'll be there. And when your faith reach out, you don't have to sit out. There's so many people sitting on the sidelines right now because they don't think that God can do what needs to be done. But God says, reach out, and I'll be there. Jesus is our supreme example of this. He always reached out to people. He was always about lost people. Everything that Jesus did, he reached out. Don't you know that we got to reach out? We're supposed to be living like Jesus. We're supposed to be his representatives here right now. We got to reach out. Jesus says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. To accomplish this, he gifted each and every one of us with gifts and the ability to engage in ministry with others. There's things that you can say and you can do, and you don't even know that you're ministering to people. But when you talk the talk and walk the walk of faith, you're touching people who can only see the physical and not the spiritual. Amen? So as you're walking, as you're talking, and you profess your faith, you're reaching out, and you're not sitting out. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12 and 9 talks about the gift of faith, that it is given to the church, not only for the edification of the church, but for the extension of the kingdom. Romans 10 and 14 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? The word in Greek to believe is the same word they use for faith. So how can someone have faith unless someone tell them? So faith is reaching out to people and having them in turn have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? A faith that doesn't reach out is stagnant, and the result of that is stunted growth. How many look at people and they say, they must be stagnant? You know, we can tell stagnant Christians. Not only can we tell it, God can tell it. But the thing is, we can't judge nobody because God is the judge. And whatever it is that we think they're stagnant or not, or why, what the reason is, that's for them and God to discern. He's the discerner of all of those things. But by faith, you can go and encourage them. By faith, you can communicate with them. By faith, you can talk to them. By faith, you can let them know that you're praying for them. Sometimes a word will come to you, you don't even know where it comes from. It'll buckle your knees. Am I right, my sister? It'll say some things to you that you don't even know where it came from. It's like, oh my God. But if God can use a donkey, if he can use a donkey, come on now, I said he used a donkey. He can use anybody. He can use anybody. And when you hear these things, You have to have the knowing of spirit realm, because the physical is going to say, well, how could that happen? How could that be, sir? Because you got to get outside of yourself and know that God is speaking to or through somebody to you. I need you to say this morning that I will reach out in faith and not sit out. And a lot of times we look at all of these heroes of the Bible. We look at all these heroes that we believe are standing on a pulpit. We look at all these heroes we believe are on the TV and on the radio saying all of these things. Well, let me tell you something. When we look at the heroes of the Bible, they didn't always get it right. Somebody say amen. We're looking for the right person. We're looking for the right word. We're looking for the one that sounds good. But that ain't always right. Abraham tried to give his wife away to Pharaoh. That ain't right. Moses struck a rock in anger. That ain't right. David committed adultery. Say that ain't right. Peter denied Jesus. That ain't right. All of the disciples except one deserted Christ at the cross. Say it. That ain't right. These were all his buddies. They ran up and down the road with him for 3 years. When that time came, they were all gone except one. That ain't right. Paul the greatest writer of the New Testament, started out killing Christians. But none of these mistakes disqualified them from doing great things for God. We're going to make mistakes in this life. We don't have to be perfect to say yes. Just willing and available to God. God is looking more than just your ability. He's looking for your availability. He's looking for your availability. Amen? Listen, we are all apprentices in the kingdom work. We're all being taught what to do in the kingdom work. When Christ took the disciples, he sent them out two by two. And then he sat down with them when they came back, and they discussed what they did and what happened. And I'm sure he clarified some things for them because maybe they didn't get it right. The things that God is telling you to do, no, you might not get it all right, but you got to do it. He's not looking for perfect. He's not looking for people who say, I can't do this. He's looking for people who say, I'm willing to do this. God didn't promise us days without pain, laughter without sorrow, or sun without rain. But he did promise us strength for each and every day. He did promise us comfort for our tears. He did say that he would light the way for us. And if God brings it to you, God will bring you through it. Instead of praying for God to take our problems away, let's pray for God to give us the strength and the faith to go through it. When he spoke about the example of this wall of heroes, this is what the writer of Hebrews said. And they were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and they were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect. They were heroes, but they wasn't perfect. The heroes of the church is the non-perfect ones. Somebody say amen. Because if you know that you're non-perfect, that means that you're willing to be trained. That means you're willing to grow. You're willing for somebody to put a little water on you so the seed can grow. Hallelujah. And all you have to do is increase your faith, because when you reach out, God will be there to pick you up and take you through. Let us stand this morning.